season. The Amplified Bible Classic Edition defines the word content as satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. This is a great definition because it does not say that I must be satisfied to the point where I don't ever want to change, but I can be satisfied to the point that I am not anxious or disturbed. One of the main ways to find contentment in the midst of something that we don't particularly enjoy is to stop focusing continually on what we do not like. The more we think about how much we dislike our job, or the people we work with, or anything else for that matter, the more discontented we become. If I have a pain anywhere in my body, all of my attention tends to go toward it, but if I get it off my mind, it seems less intense. Yesterday, my back was hurting, but I went shopping with my daughter, and I found two blouses that I really liked. And I realized later that while I was excited about the blouses, I didn't seem to notice the pain. Although I cannot spend all my time shopping to divert my attention from pain, I can go ahead and live my life and enjoy it while God is taking care of my problem. We can choose what we want to think about, and the thoughts we choose affect every area of our lives, especially our emotions. A happy life requires happy and hope-filled thoughts. God's Word teaches us that a happy heart does us good, like a medicine. See Proverbs 17:22. I have come to believe that being content is one of the greatest ways we can glorify God. So make the decision today to be content in the season you are in, while you are waiting for the next season God has for you. Trust God. Don't wait until everything is perfect before you decide to enjoy your life. Don't forget. Just as the calendar is made up of seasons, our lives are made up of seasons too. God doesn't want you to just love your life some of the time, during particular seasons or situations. He wants you to be content in every season of life. It doesn't matter what your co-workers do or how rude the boss may be, because you aren't working for them. You are doing your work for God in a way that pleases Him. Don't wait until everything is perfect before you decide to enjoy your life. Remember that God has your very best interest at heart, and be content regardless of your circumstances. People become attached to their burdens, sometimes more than the burdens are attached to them. George Bernard Shaw. Chapter 11. Rediscover Your Life. Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it. Charles R. Swindoll. I once read that the great American actor Marlon Brando had a very bad sense of direction. This dated back to his childhood. The story is told that he wandered aimlessly so much on his way to kindergarten class, his sister eventually had to take him to class on a leash. It's a pretty funny picture when it comes to kindergarten, but it's not so funny when it comes to life. Unfortunately, many of us, like Marlon Brando, are wandering aimlessly. We feel lost, lost in our relationships, lost in our faith, and generally lost in life. We can let our circumstances become a leash that determines and controls the direction we take. At one time, we had a plan and we knew where we were going, but it seems like at some point in time, we lost our way. The good news is that if you are a Christian, you have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is many things for us. He is a comforter, a counselor, and a friend. But one of the most important things He is for us is a guide. John 16:13 tells us, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth." And Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." These verses remind us that the Holy Spirit is always available to steer us through life. We never have to feel lost again. The Holy Spirit guides us so we can discover and, if need be, rediscover God's plan and purpose for our lives. I think the very best way to love your life is to let the Holy Spirit be your guide each day. You can embrace the adventure of a life lived with and for God. If you feel lost or confused, if it seems like life has gotten away from you a little bit, if you don't have nearly the amount of joy you used to have, I want to encourage you today. You can rediscover your life. You can go back to the place where you got lost and move forward from there. Don't settle for merely existing. Press toward the goal of experiencing the life that Jesus truly wants you to have. Reject stress and rediscover the joy of peace. Stress is one of the main culprits that steals our joy and derails our lives from the path God has for us. I know firsthand what it's like to live under the pressure of stress, and I know what it's like to have God's peace. I have come to a point in my life where I can honestly say that I will do whatever I have to do to have God's peace in my life. And the reason is simple. It is not God's will for us to live with stress all the time. Perhaps somewhere along the way, you lost your peace due to a tragedy or trial in your life, and you need to rediscover what it is like to be peaceful. It's easy for us to feel like we can't avoid being stressed out, because it's just the way the world is today. There is an epidemic of stress in our culture. Everywhere we turn, there seems to be something else to worry or be anxious about. Hectic schedules, catastrophe in the news, economic downturns, it's all very stressful. But just because stress is the new normal in our world, that doesn't mean we have to adopt the ways of our culture and live the same way. We have two options. We can continue to be stressed, anxious, worried, and miserable, or we can learn to rediscover and recapture our peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Recently, I went through several weeks of turmoil involving lots of different things. Surgery, pressure regarding an important decision that needed to be made, a heavy work schedule, a flood in our area, and roof damage from storms, and the list could go on and on. I recall saying to God, "I feel I have gotten off track and lost sight of the most important thing in my life, and that is you." It seemed as if I was lost in a maze and was trying to find my way back home. Have you ever felt that way? Do you perhaps feel that way right now? God showed me that I needed to calm my soul and ask him to guide me back to where I needed to be. My soul was filled with frustration and turmoil, and he guided me back to peace. He wants to do the same thing for you any time you need it, but it will involve being obedient to make the changes he guides you to make. Being set free from the pressure of stress begins with understanding John 14:27 and living in obedience to it. It is important we understand that if we are going to discover or rediscover how to love our lives, we will have to let God change the things we cannot change and do the things we cannot do. We cannot continue allowing ourselves to be upset and disturbed and have peace at the same time. We can have one or the other, but we cannot simultaneously have both. The first thing we can do is pray and be willing to hear what God has to say about the real root of our stressful problem. If you're already doing your part, evaluating your schedule, letting go of negativity, and refusing to worry, then simply let go and trust that God will fix things. But if you are convicted of any area in your life that needs to change, ask God to help you make the change and be willing to do whatever you need to do in order to have peace. Remember, Jesus gives us his peace, not as the world gives, but his own special peace. His peace functions in the storms of life, rather than waiting until they are over and life is bright and sunny once again. Pray and obey. To pray and obey means we make a commitment not to live based on the culture around us, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us as born-again believers in Christ. Our mindset should be, With God's help, I'm ready to make a change. Then, as we do what God shows us to do, or what he shows us not to do, we'll be able to rediscover the joy of living a life in relationship with God. Think a new way in order to live a new way. When we take time to renew our minds with God's Word, we learn how to think like God thinks, say what God says, and act like he wants us to act. This is the key to learning to love our lives. Although I know and have experienced the benefits of thinking properly, that does not mean that I always do it. At times, I have to rediscover the power of right thinking. I realize I have gotten off the right path, but thankfully, I can always get back on the right one by making a decision to do so. You may wonder, how do I discover a new way to think? There are literally thousands of thoughts that run through our minds every day. So how do we control all of them? The first thing we need to believe is that it is possible to do so with God's help. I talked with a woman recently who was reading my book, Battlefield of the Mind, and she said, "It is getting harder and harder for me to keep reading it." I asked if that meant that she wasn't enjoying it, and she said, "Oh no, I am enjoying it, but the more I read, the more I realize I need to change, and the more difficult it becomes to keep thinking the way I always have in the past." She was learning a new way of thinking and being challenged by the Holy Spirit to be obedient to do it. For example, many people think it's normal to worry, and this woman had done a lot of worrying in her life. But as a Christian, worrying is not a normal way of thinking. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything." Of course, this doesn't mean we won't ever deal with feelings of concern or worry. But when we do, we can pray and give them to God so we can have his peace while we go through a hard time. This is the life God wants you to discover if you have never had it, or to rediscover it if you have lost it. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. This means no matter what our circumstances may be, we can have God's wisdom, discernment, and peace to guide our decisions in the midst of them. I don't have to tell you that we live in an age full of dizzying distractions. It's amazing how much information is coming at us most of the time through technology, the media, and the busyness of the world around us. This is the way of the world now, but we don't have to live like the world. We can learn to reject the frustrations, distractions, and chaos of the world around us in order to have peace inside of us. It is this peace that will keep us focused and joyful, no matter how crazy things around us may seem. It was such a revelation for me when I realized I didn't have to think about just anything that came into my mind. I could choose my thoughts and do my own thinking on purpose. And you can too. There is a way to discover a new normal, a way to have victory in our circumstances and not live according to what the world views as normal. And it all begins with renewing our minds by focusing on God's promises rather than the world's problems. The choice is up to you. So make the decision to rediscover your life by beginning to think a new way. Peaceful thoughts turn into a peaceful life. So start by spending time each day reading and meditating on the Word of God. Then pray and ask him to help you understand how to apply the wisdom you discover to your everyday life. As you do your part to renew your mind, God will do his. You'll be amazed at how much better life can be when you have the mind of Christ. Don't be discouraged when you find you have gotten off track. Trust me when I say that it happens to all of us. Allow God to change you. Transformation needs to take place in our hearts first if we are going to see our lives transformed into ones we truly love. To be transformed means you are changed entirely from the inside out. Remember, when we become Christians, we become new creations. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If we will let him, the Holy Spirit will work in us, changing our mind, will, and emotions, so we become more like Jesus day by day. As we grow spiritually, the good work that's happening inside us can be seen through the way we live, and we become testimonies of what God has done. We no longer have to go through life frustrated or bitter. We have discovered a better way to live. Many people believe they can't change or be changed. They assume their lives are always going to be the same, never changing for the better. But the only thing that never changes is God. See Hebrews 13:8. And he wants us to dare to believe that he is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. Ephesians 3:20. You may not realize it, but you are actually changing right now as you listen to the words in this book, because they are God's words and principles. You are learning new ways to think, and your mind is being renewed. Keep listening, and if you need to, listen again and again. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit guides us so we can discover God's plan and purpose with each new day. We have two options. We can continue to be stressed out until we fall apart, losing all of our peace and joy, or we can learn how to receive the peace Christ gives us in every circumstance, rather than letting stress get into us. When we take time to renew our minds with God's Word, we learn how to think like God thinks, say what God says, and act like He wants us to act. This is the key to learning to love our lives. If we will let Him, the Holy Spirit will work in us, changing our mind, will, and emotions, so we become more like Jesus day by day. No man is a failure who is enjoying life. Attributed to William Feather. Chapter 12. See each day as an opportunity. One way to get the most out of life is to look upon it as an adventure. William Feather. F.W. Woolworth was an incredibly successful businessman who pioneered the idea of the modern five-and-dime store. His business set trends and established what we now know as the highly successful model of low-priced retail. But it is his start in business that I find particularly interesting. Some years ago, an energetic young man began as a clerk in a hardware store. Like many old-time hardware stores, the inventory included thousands of dollars worth of items that were obsolete or seldom called for by customers. The young man was smart enough to know that no thriving business could carry such an inventory and still show a healthy profit. He proposed a sale to get rid of the stuff. The owner was reluctant, but finally agreed to let him set up a table in the middle of the store and try to sell off a few of the oldest items. Every product was priced at 10 cents. The sale was a success, and the young fellow got permission to run a second sale. It, too, went over just as well as the first. This gave the young clerk an idea. Why not open a store that would sell only nickel and dime items? He could run the store, and his boss could supply the capital. The young man's boss was not enthusiastic. The plan will never work, he said, because you can't find enough items to sell at a nickel and a dime. The young man was disappointed, but eventually went ahead on his own and made a fortune out of the idea. His name was F.W. Woolworth. Years later, his old boss lamented, "As near as I can figure it, every word I used in turning Woolworth down has cost me about $1 million. F.W. Woolworth did something so few people choose to do. He seized his opportunity. He didn't wait for the perfect situation, he didn't complain when things were difficult, and he didn't stop when he met opposition. He looked for an opportunity, and then he refused to give up on it. I share that story with you because every new day in Christ is a new opportunity for something incredible to happen. Much like F.W. Woolworth, all we have to do is boldly seize that daily opportunity. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 84:11. the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That truth from the Word of God is so good, you should probably listen to it again. What an amazing promise! The Lord bestows present grace and favor. That means you have the grace and favor of God today to do something you could not have done on your own. The grace and favor of God are opening up opportunities for you, right now, today. And it gets even better. The verse goes on to say, you have that same grace and favor for future glory. There will be new opportunities from God tomorrow, and the next day, and the next. Each new day with God is a new opportunity to love your life. You may hear those words and think, well, I don't feel like my life is full of opportunity. I don't really see how each new day carries a new chance for something amazing to happen. I understand if you feel that way. Sometimes we fail to see the opportunities we have. It's easy to get discouraged by past failures or distracted by present obstacles and overlook the opportunities just waiting to be seized. So, let me give you 5 opportunities you have today that you may not have realized. 1. An opportunity to do something you have been afraid to do before. Fear is one of the main things that holds us back from living the abundant life Jesus came to give us. Fear of the unknown, fear that we will fail, fear that we won't be good enough. But our lives in Christ no longer have to be lived in fear. Isaiah 41:10, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, says, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand." What an amazing opportunity. Today can be the day that you do something you've been afraid to do before. It can be the day you boldly and confidently face the challenges you've cowered from in the past. And you can do that because God promises that he will hold you up and retain you with his hand of victory. You may have been afraid to go back to get your degree. Today is an opportunity to be courageous. You may have been afraid to apply for that job. Today is an opportunity to be confident. You may have been afraid to be vulnerable again. Today is an opportunity to be fearless. Whatever fear has held you back, remember that 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Embrace your opportunity and do something courageous today in that spirit of power and love. 2. An opportunity to make today better than yesterday. Proverbs 4:18 tells us that the path of the just, righteous, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. God doesn't want you to live a stagnant life, repeating the same mistakes today that you made yesterday. Whatever mistakes you made yesterday, those are over. Whatever disappointment you may have faced yesterday, that day is in the rearview mirror. Today is a brand new opportunity to start again. With God's help, you can determine to learn from the past and move forward. Today can be an amazing day. 3. An opportunity to pursue the dream in your heart. Christopher Reeve said, "So many of our dreams at first seem impossible, and then they seem improbable. And then when we summon the will, they soon become inevitable." The dream God gives you is much different from a wish or an aspiration. It is something that you can't get away from, something that seems to be calling you forward. But unfortunately, many people don't pursue their dreams. They sit back idly, waiting for it to just happen on its own. Whatever it is you feel like God is calling you to do, you will have to take active steps to pursue it. He will give you the strength you need, and he will make a way even when it seems impossible. But you have to step out in faith and move in the right direction. We all get where we want to go one step at a time, so make today a day when you take the opportunity to make more steps in the right direction. There will never be a better time than now. Don't keep putting it off another day, another month, or another year. Be bold and realize today is your opportunity to get started. Do something, even if it's small, but refuse to do nothing. We can all pray today, and that should always be the first thing we do. If you have a dream, goal, or desire, and you don't know of anything you can do right now to work toward it, then pray and ask God to start opening doors. 4. An opportunity to do something you enjoy. One of the things that will help us love our lives is if we regularly do things that we enjoy. Although sacrificing for others is biblical and good, it is also good and emotionally healthy to do things that you enjoy. Last week I asked Dave to take me out for a coffee, and he was glad to do it. But the coffee shop I wanted to go to required a 1-hour round trip. I said, it might seem foolish to take an hour driving to get a cup of coffee. But Dave said, you are worth it. I not only appreciated his generous attitude, but I was reminded that we are all worth a little extravagance occasionally. The coffee they serve is very good, and it comes out in a cute little cup and has perfect foam on top shaped into a heart. My point is that I like it, and I took the opportunity to do something that I enjoy. You should do the same thing. 5. An opportunity to ask for help. Have you ever been lost and thought, I wish I had asked someone for directions, or ever been struggling with a project on your own and thought, I wish there was someone here who could help me? Help is something we all need from time to time, but rarely ask for. Maybe we're too self-sufficient or too proud to admit we can't do it on our own. Whatever the reason, we're frustrated in life because we just need help. Well, I've got great news for you today. God is available to give you the direction you need and the help you require. Not only will God help you, but he will also provide other people to help you if you will ask him to. I can honestly say that I don't know what I would do without all the people in my life who helped me. But there was a time when I was so independent that I tried to do everything myself and would not ask for help. We all need each other, and we are actually robbing others of the opportunity to use the gifts God has given them if we refuse to let them help us. If you need wisdom for a decision, ask for help. If your body or soul is unhealthy, ask for help. If a relationship is in trouble, ask for help. If you need to make an attitude adjustment, ask for help. Today is a great opportunity to invite God into your situation, to turn things around. He has an amazing plan for your life and wants to see you walking in victory. All you have to do is ask for his help. Don't wait. Go for it. Your life in Christ is full of opportunities. You just have to look for them. Each new day is a new day to serve him, experience his love, walk in the fullness of his joy, and love the life he came to give you. Don't waste another day sitting idly by, wishing you could catch a break. Take some initiative. Don't forget. You have the grace and favor of God today to do something you could not have done on your own. Today can be the day that you do something you've been afraid to do before. Today you can do something you enjoy. Today you can take one more step toward the fulfillment of your dreams. Today you can ask for help. The purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experience. Eleanor Roosevelt. Chapter 13. The 5-Minute Rule. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Swedish proverb. We've all heard about the importance of time management. If you want to avoid stress, good time management is an effective way to do that. If you'll manage your calendar well, show up on time, and work diligently to stay on task, your days will probably go much smoother. This is time management. I think there is something just as important as time management, if not more, in order to live a life that you love. I like to call it thought management. In order to love your life, it's wise to manage your thoughts with the same diligence you might manage your time. And a great way to do that is to live by the 5-minute rule. The 5-minute rule is quite simple. Don't spend even 5 minutes obsessing about something that won't matter 5 years, 5 months, or 5 weeks from now. This is a practical tool that will help you love your life. It's amazing to think of all the energy we expend thinking about things that don't matter. We obsess about the smallest things sometimes, not realizing that we are squandering our joy. We would be much wiser to focus our thoughts and our energy on the issues that really matter, the issues that will affect our lives in the long term. Instead of obsessing over the irritations and minor issues in life, why not remind yourself that 5 days or less from now, they won't matter anyway? Tormenting ourselves over issues, no matter what they are, never helps anything, and it certainly doesn't bring us peace and joy. It's a total waste of time. I'm reminded of the exasperated husband who asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" She defensively responded, "Oh, yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." I know a man who has a variety of OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, issues in his life. That means he has a compulsion to be obsessive about certain things. He cannot or will not be at peace and enjoy his life unless certain things are exactly the way he wants them to be. He is especially concerned about how everything in his life looks. His yard has to be manicured perfectly, his car has to be spotless, and if one of his children do anything that makes a smudge on it, he gets angry. His clothing and hair have to look a very specific way in order for him to be happy. But the truth is that the things that upset him are not even noticed by other people. His concern over these issues is very extreme when compared to the issue itself. While we all have some things that are much more important to us than they might be to another person, anything carried to an extreme is an open door for the devil to torment us. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." And Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" God's instructions are very clear here. Don't spend any time obsessing about anything. Nothing in life is perfect, and that is simply a fact that we all have to deal with. On a practical level, here is what the 5-minute rule might look like for you today. Don't spend even 5 minutes fuming over a traffic jam. It doesn't matter in the long run. Don't waste 5 minutes feeling insecure about what someone said about you. The only thing that really matters is what God says about you. Don't get angry for 5 minutes because you can't find the remote control or your cell phone. It will turn up. Don't lose your temper for 5 minutes when you don't get your way. God's way is best anyway. Don't spend 5 minutes panicking because your hair isn't cooperating today. It will look much better tomorrow. Do you get the point? The 5-minute rule is all about keeping your focus and spending your energy on the things that really matter. Don't throw away your life 5 minutes at a time. Instead, ask God to give you a healthy sense of perspective so you can love your life every single day. Place your trust in God. Feeling worried or uneasy is a problem for so many in the world today. Of course, it's human nature to be concerned about the bad situations in our world and in our personal lives. But if we're not careful, the devil will cause us to worry beyond what's reasonable, beyond 5 minutes. Keep in mind, worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets you anywhere. This is why it is a total waste of time. And not only is it pointless, worry is dangerous because it steals our peace, physically wears us out, and can even make us sick. Worry is the exact opposite of faith. When we worry, we're only tormenting ourselves, assuming the very worst. We're doing the devil's job for him when we stress out over issues in our lives. There are very serious issues in life that require much more than 5 minutes of our time and thought. But they are limited compared to the number of things we let frustrate us that are not that important. I was recently in a theater, and at the intermission of the show, Dave and I decided to move and sit with a friend a few rows behind us, who was sitting in the aisle seat and had empty seats next to him. Because I thought I might need a restroom break before the end of the show, and since I didn't want to disturb anyone, I thought moving was a thoughtful choice. However, when I started to sit down, the woman in the seat behind me became agitated and told me emphatically, "Do not sit in front of me." She realized the seats were not our assigned seats, and she wanted to take pictures and didn't want me to sit there. I decided it was best to choose another seat and not cause a further disturbance, but I felt anger rising up in me. I had to apply the 5-minute rule, but I applied it in 2 minutes instead of 5. I had a little chat with myself and told myself, "Joyce, you will probably never see this woman again in your life, and being angry won't change her, so drop it and go on enjoying your day." The only way to love your life is not to let things ruin your peace, and that is especially true with things that don't matter that much anyway. Peace doesn't just magically appear in our lives. We have to pursue it, crave it, and go after it. Instead of focusing on all the minor things that are stealing your joy 5 minutes at a time, I have another suggestion. Follow the instruction found in Psalm 37:3, the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. This scripture gives us a great action step to overcoming fear, anxiety, and worry. It says, "Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed." A better option. Rather than obsessing, worrying, and anxiously fretting your day away 5 minutes at a time, let me encourage you to do something much better. Give your mind to what you are doing at the moment. We miss a great deal of each day focused on things that have happened instead of what is happening at the moment. Another option is to turn the 5-minute rule completely upside down and spend 5 minutes at a time engaging in faith-filled, positive thinking and activities that minister life to you, rather than misery. Spend 5 consecutive minutes thanking God for all his blessings. Take 5 minutes to help someone around you today. Go to God and spend 5 minutes in prayer the next time you feel overwhelmed by the events of your day. Call and encourage a friend for 5 minutes. Declare promises from the Bible over your life for 5 minutes before you go to bed. It's all about perspective. If you'll do things in intervals, even as short as 5 minutes, that have real, lasting, eternal impact, you're going to find your attitude and outlook on life becoming so much better. You'll start to love your life, 5 minutes at a time. Don't forget, in order to enjoy the life Jesus came to give you, it's wise to manage your thoughts with the same diligence with which you manage your time. Focus your thoughts and energy on the issues that really matter, the issues that will affect your life in the long term. The 5-minute rule is quite simple. Don't spend even 5 minutes obsessing about something that won't matter 5 years, 5 months, or 5 weeks from now. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it never gets you anywhere. Don't throw away your life 5 minutes at a time. Instead, ask God to give you a healthy sense of perspective so you can love your life every single day. Cherish your yesterdays, dream your tomorrows, and live your todays. Anonymous. Chapter 14. Live every day like it's your last. It is not the years in your life, but the life in your years that counts. Adlai Stevenson. I believe you are well on your way to truly living a life that you love. But before we go any further, there is something else we need to discuss. And it may be the most important thing of all. One of the best ways to live a life you love is to live every day like it's your last. Start doing the things that are important to you and things that you enjoy. I'm not talking about living in fear that today could be your last day on earth. I'm encouraging you to make the most of each day. I don't know about you, but one of the things that can frustrate me is wasting time. I am goal-oriented, and I like to accomplish something, even if it is something small each day. When we think we have endless days left, we may tend to procrastinate when it comes to doing things that we want to do. But it is very unwise to do that. You may have seen the movie The Bucket List, in which two men who were terminally ill each made a list of things they had always wanted to do but had never done. Realizing their time was coming to an end, they made a decision to get busy doing the things that they should have been doing throughout their lives. I know of several people who made their own bucket lists after seeing that movie, and they got more serious about taking time to do some of the things in life that they really wanted to do. None of us can spend our days just doing things we want to do. We all have responsibilities that need to come first. But if we do not add things that we enjoy, life can become very bland very quickly. I look at it like adding some salt, pepper, or other spice to my food. The spice is not everything, but it sure helps the flavor. Adding some spice to your life doesn't mean that you have to do something big that requires a lot of time and money. Instead of finding reasons why you can't do a thing, why not find ways that you can? Or, if you cannot do exactly what you want to do, then do some version of it. If you would love to travel through Europe, but that is impossible right now, then at least go somewhere that you have never been. Now, if you don't have the finances to do some of the things you would like to do, then it's necessary to put them off until another time. There are plenty of reasons why we need to wait on doing some things, but we don't have to wait to do everything we enjoy. Make your own list. What are several things you want to do before your time on Earth is over? Once you know what you want to do, try to schedule at least some of them every year. Have things on your list that are big and some that are little, so you always have a variety to choose from. Don't be the kind of person who watches other people do things and then says, "I've always wanted to do that, but I guess I will never get to." When we do that, we are likely to feel deprived and then end up resenting the life we have instead of loving it. If you cannot do the things you would like to do now, at least you can say, "Someday I am going to do that." Hope energizes us and gives us something to look forward to. Enjoyment. I recall being astounded at one time many years ago when I realized through studying scripture that Jesus came so that we might have and enjoy our lives. See John 10:10. My son and his wife just took a weekend and went to a nice local hotel. They have 3 small children and wanted a break from the routine of everyday life. They ate out, did some shopping, and had an opportunity to talk with one another without being continually interrupted by young children, who ask a question every few minutes. I was very happy for them, and their joy and enjoyment gave me enjoyment. Jesus feels the same way about us. Our enjoyment gives him joy. Part of enjoyment is laughter, and it is more than a good idea. It's a biblical one. God gave us the capacity to laugh, and we would be wise to make the most of it. Laughter brings health to the soul and the body. Over the years, I've read and heard so much about the benefits of laughter. For example, it is common knowledge that laughter can improve your health in the following ways. Laughter causes the release of endorphins, a chemical in the body that relieves pain and creates a sense of well-being. Laughter can raise your energy level, relieve tension, and change your attitude. Laughter is generally known to increase antibodies and strengthen your immune system. A hearty belly laugh causes you to inhale more oxygen and stimulates your heart and blood circulation. It's like internal aerobic exercise. I have found that the things that make me laugh the most are not expensive. They usually happen when I am not trying to entertain myself, but am just living my ordinary daily life. I love to spend time with people who have a good sense of humor and tend to make me laugh a lot. Time spent with them is very refreshing to me. Like most of you, I work very hard and could easily get so focused on my responsibilities that I don't take the time for laughter, but it is important in more ways than we might think. Thankfully, I have some people in my immediate family that are blessed with a quick wit, and I am thankful for that. I believe that the ability to make other people laugh is a gift from God. One of the ways to laugh more is to be less serious about some things. Although there are many serious issues in life that we deal with, there are other things we get intense about when we really don't need to. The mistakes we make in life is one of those things. Learn to laugh at yourself instead of berating yourself for your imperfections. Children find a way to laugh no matter what, and we can learn a lot from them. Become more childlike and make a decision to laugh more and worry less. Celebrate. In addition to doing things that you want to do, I also want to encourage you to begin to celebrate. You don't need to wait for some major accomplishment in life, like graduating from college or getting married to celebrate. You can and should begin to celebrate small victories in your life. Celebration doesn't need to be expensive, and it is something you can do by yourself. It is more about an attitude than it is an event. In order to live a life that you love, you will need to stop keeping a running inventory of all the things you think are wrong with yourself and your life. We have a very strong tendency as humans to focus on how far we have to go instead of how far we have come, and on what we don't have instead of what we do have. This scripture has really helped me overcome these tendencies. What the eyes see, enjoying what is available, is better than craving what the soul desires. This too is futility and chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 6:9. Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, was a man who made it a priority to learn how to enjoy life. Although he tried many things that utterly failed, one of which was living for himself alone, he did come to some conclusions that I agree with. One of those is summed up in this scripture. It simply says it is much better to enjoy what we have than it is to continually crave what we don't have. Have you ever met one of those people who is never satisfied, no matter what is going on in their life? I have. And it can be exhausting just being with them. Although they may even say that they are blessed, their list of complaints is so long that their blessings get lost in it. They focus on the negatives in life instead of the positive things. They think they will be happy when and if, but somehow they never get around to enjoying where they are and what they have now. If we were to live every day like it was our last, I seriously doubt that we would continue to put off enjoyment. We all seem to inherently know that it is important, but we assign it to some day in the future. Now is what we have, so let's start making the best use of it that we can. I have been in a season of God dealing with me about some of my faults and weaknesses, and I found myself dwelling on them too much recently. I had to stop and remember how far I have come in spiritual growth, instead of just how far I still have to go. When God shows us our flaws, it is not so we can dwell on them and become discouraged. It is an act of His love for us and His way of helping us improve. If you will let Him, He will also show you how far you have come in your journey with Him. Celebrate those successes regularly, and it will help you deal more effectively with the things that still need to change. When God calls me home and the people who love me get together to remember my life, I don't want them to be sad and miserable. I want them to celebrate my memory and accomplishments. God wants us to do that every day. Enjoy today and live it as if it might be your last. Make up your mind to love your life today. Lewis E. Boone said, "The saddest summary of a life contains three descriptions: could have, might have, and should have." And I think he's right. There are so many people living in a could have, might have, should have kind of life. But that doesn't have to be you. You can live today like it's your last day on earth, maximizing every moment. Be sure that you let the people you love know how you feel. Don't wait until it's too late and then live with regret over things that you intended to tell them, but just never did. Instead of could have, might have, or should have, you can live a life of I loved, I laughed, I lived fully. Don't forget. Live every day as if it were your last. Start doing the things you have always wanted to do. Celebrate every little victory in your life. Tell people how important they are to you. Enjoy life now, and don't let anything stop you. Well, your greatest joy definitely comes from doing something for another, especially when it was done with no thought of something in return. John Wooden. Chapter 15. Be the you God created you to be. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson. One of the best ways to love your life is choosing to be comfortable with yourself. Until you do that, your attitude, your relationships, and your own peace of mind will be greatly compromised. Being the you God created you to be is of the utmost importance, and it only makes sense. Let me show you what I mean. My friend Darlene Check is one of the most gifted singers and worship leaders I have ever met. When she stands up to lead worship, it really is incredible to watch. This is her gifting. She's great at it. But can you imagine if, all of a sudden, Darlene decided she wanted to be a race car driver? Maybe she saw a race on TV and decided, it would be so cool if only I could drive that fast. I don't suspect it would go very well. I would be afraid for her safety. Why? Because Darlene wasn't created to drive race cars. I have another great friend, Christine Kane, who is incredibly gifted to teach the Word of God. That's who God made her to be. But what if Chris decided one day that she wanted to be a Hollywood movie star? As talented as she is, she's never told me that acting is her desire or dream in life. And if she tried to find happiness by starring in the next big-budget summer movie, she would probably end up very frustrated. Darlene and Christine would be the first to tell you that they are happiest when they are operating with their unique skill sets, not trying to be someone else. I can relate to this idea because it took me quite a while to learn to be comfortable being myself. I've tried to be a number of different things over the years that just weren't me. I remember when I tried to learn the guitar. It did not go well. I also remember when I decided I was going to be a homemaker who baked for my family all day and sewed new outfits for all of us to wear. Wow, what a mistake. I'd never been so frustrated in my life. No matter how hard I tried, these things just weren't me. And guess what? The more frustrated I became trying to be like other people, the more my relationship suffered. I had so much more peace, and the people around me felt the same way, when I realized God had created me to teach His Word, and that was going to be my focus. But it wasn't only my skills that I compared with other people. I also compared my temperament and personality to others. I am aggressive, straightforward, and bold, but as I watched other women who were quieter and sweeter in nature, I let the devil convince me that something was wrong with me and that I needed to be more like they were. I did need to go through some changes. I needed to improve the way I presented myself to other people. I was a bit harsh due to abuse I had experienced. Over the years, God softened my heart and gave me more wisdom in how I functioned in relationships, but I still needed to embrace the temperament and personality that God created me to have. And so do you. What about you? Are you content with the person God created you to be, or are you constantly trying to be like someone else? If you've ever thought, I've got nothing to offer, or I wish I could be like so-and-so, God wants to set you free from that. God created you to be a unique individual. He assigned your talents and abilities, and He wants you to be comfortable being yourself. That doesn't mean you never try new things, and it doesn't mean other people can't inspire you to branch out and learn something different. It simply means you realize you are amazing and talented just the way God created you. You don't have to be like someone else. Psalm 139:13 says, For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And verse 14 goes on to say, I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. These verses tell you that God took careful time in creating you. He knew exactly what He was doing when He meticulously designed your spirit, soul, and body. He has given you unique talents, a beautiful personality, and an individual purpose. Get excited! You can celebrate the person God has created you to be. Overcoming insecurity. Many people in the world today are dealing with an identity crisis. It happens because they don't really understand who they are in Christ. God wants us to find our worth and value in the fact that we were created by Him. We belong to Him. He loves us. And He has a very good plan for our lives. But instead of finding their identity in Him, many base their worth and value on other things. What they look like, what career they have, who they know, or what they own. But none of these things define who God has created you to be. If you've ever dealt with insecurity, relax. You're normal. We all have. But the good news is we don't have to stay insecure. We don't have to live unhappily, stuck in our lack of confidence. We were created to feel safe, secure, confident, and bold. This is part of our spiritual DNA as God's children. But the key to living that secure life in Christ is knowing who you were created to be, really receiving God's unconditional love for you and basing your worth on what the Word of God says about you, rather than anything else. Isaiah 54:17 says, This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I love this verse of Scripture because it clearly shows us that it is our inherited right through our relationship with Christ to be secure. We don't have to go through life wishing we were someone else or wondering what others think about us. We can be safe and secure and free to be the unique person God created us to be. Think about this. The Word of God tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus. See Romans 8:17. And whatever He has, we inherit as a gift from Him. Isn't that incredible? But in order to live in the reality of that truth, we have to receive it by faith. And that requires that we believe it before we receive it. You may not always feel talented, but you are. You may not think you are important, but you are.